I want to read a lengthy scripture. That's why I want to make sure I had my glasses this morning. Chapter number 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, what's happened just previous to this is God has interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the king. He saw this great image, which will unfold all of history that's in the future. And we'll deal with that at a little later date, but I'm dealing with some other issues, some other things God's laid on my heart as we go along. And that wonderful thing, he promoted Daniel and made him great in the kingdom. And he sat in the gate and so on. But it put pride, because the Babylonian kingdom is first, and Nebuchadnezzar here, he is the represented as gold. And so he made himself a great gold image for them to worship. And so something that was a good thing turned out to be a bad thing, because it filled his heart with pride. Notice what it said in verse number 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent and gathered together the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes and governor and the captains of and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they took before the they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people." We're getting a little bit of feedback, guys. "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the backbuck, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people had heard the cornet, the flute, the harp, the butzer, the salt, the saucer, and the kinds, and all kind of musical, kind of music, all the people and the nations and language fell down and worshiped the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. And they spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews who thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon." These guys are jealous. And they sought occasion to get back at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because the king had exalted them. And he goes on, mid-verse, "And have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I've set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, we be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. Never been that hot before. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the fiery, to the burning fiery furnace. These men bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the fiery, burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes and governor and captains and king's counselor being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trust in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sword. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. What a wonderful, wonderful historical story. We talk about Bible stories, and those stories are actually true historical events. And here's one of them. It's absolutely awesome. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, I want to thank you for allowing us to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you again for the wonderful congregation singing. Thank you, our Father, for Brother Roland leading this morning. Thank you for the specials and God for speaking our heart through that. And Lord Jesus, I'm honored and blessed to be able to bow before you once again today and confess that there's no good thing in me. And God, apart from the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, nothing of eternal consequence will take place here today. But God, there's some people who are discouraged. I pray you'd encourage them. There's some who are going through the fire. I pray, God, they'd be blessed. And Father, I pray, God, that Lord, if those who are hearing my voice today in the media audience or in this building do not know the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would convict them, draw them by your grace, and save them for Jesus' sake. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a wonderful story. I can hardly wait to get to the Amish country to sight and sound on our tour to see them. They're doing the book of Daniel this year. I'm certain they'll do this scene, and I know it's going to be a blessing. I'm looking forward to that. But when you go through here, I want you to notice that there are three or four little things by way of introduction I want to mention to you. I want you to notice, first of all, the intensity of the furnace. how hot it was. It was heated 7 times, basically, more than it normally would be. And it was extremely hot. He had such wrath toward them, he wanted them almost instantly to be incinerated. He wanted to make an example out of them about those who don't bow to his God or serve his God or worship his God. And so what he did, he got together the strongest men, it said, the mightiest men, to bind these young men. Well, there's no indication that in any way they had fought against it or that they were trying to flee or anything else, but he wanted to make sure that they were bound and thrown into the fire. And the Bible says that when they were thrown down into the fire, that those mighty men who threw them in, when they got close enough to it, the blast from that furnace was so intense that it killed them instantly. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fall down into that furnace. And it was so strong in there. It should have burned them immediately. But I'll go further in just a few moments. But I will mention this to you. If you'll notice, it says they were walking around loose. You know what? The fire burned when they fell into the fire. It burned their bonds, what had them bound. Not sure if it was ropes or chains or whatever it was, but whatever it was, the fire burned off all the restraint that they had. What a wonderful miracle God performed in doing that. But then I want you to notice the astonishment of the king. The king looks at that furnace, and evidently it's just an open furnace. And when he looked in, he said, "Did we throw 3 men in there?" And they said, "True, king, we threw 3 men in there." But he said, "I see 4. I see 4 of them loosed and walking about in the fire. And one of them looks like the Son of God." That phrase has always astonished me. He's a Babylonian king, and he's already had experience with Daniel, and Daniel has told him about his God, but there is a God in heaven. And so he's learned about their God. And when he looked, I don't know how he knew, but the Holy Ghost of God evidently made him know that that was the Son of God. And can I remind you that Satan will put you through the most intense trial that he possibly can. He'll allow that to come into your life, and he'll try his best to destroy you. But those type of situations will turn into blessing if we trust God and let God have his way. And the bonds that they had, it set them free to walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other thing is this, he made a promise, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He's there in that furnace with them. And I don't care what you're going through. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me." In the most difficult times of your life, the most trying times of your life, Jesus Christ will not forsake you. He'll be with you in those times. He's going to always be there with you. He'll stand by your side. He loves you in the fire. And then there was a song several years ago that I loved, and it talked about this story, but it said, 3 came out, but 1 stayed in the fire. And want to know where Jesus is at? He's still in the fire. And so whenever you get in the fire, he's already there before you get in it. Before you get into the heartache, the sorrow, the sickness, the pain, he's already there. He's already in the furnace. He's already where you're headed, and he'll be there with you. But now notice again that miraculous deliverance. As they fall down into that thing, the Bible says this about them, and these guys give testimony. Let me read it to you. And it says in verse 27, "And the princes and governors and captains and king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power." Now I'm going to tell you, hot is hot. And this was extremely hot, but it did not touch their bodies. What a miracle that God kept them from being burned in that fire. In fact, that there was not even a hair singed. We have a gas stove at home. We cook on gas, and I love it. I love it. When you turn it on, it's hot. When you cut it off, it's off. But if you're not careful, if you're reaching across a front burner to a back burner, it'll smoke your arm. I mean, it'll singe the hair. You don't have to get right down on it. I mean, just get close to it and it'll singe the hair. but not one hair on their body was even singed. And this fire was hot enough to just incinerate them. What a miracle that God did for these men, that it had no power over their body. Now watch this. It said, and not only them, but their clothing, neither were their coats changed. It didn't scorch their clothing. It didn't burn their clothing off of them, just the bonds. And here's another amazing thing. They didn't even have the smell of fire in them. I go out in the yard and gather up yard debris, and I burn trash and everything else, and you're round and around and around, you know. And when I walk in the house, I smell like smoke. I wear a hat. My hat smells like smoke. My shirt smells like smoke. My pants, everything, I smell like smoke, just being out around it. But they were inside this furnace. They didn't even smell like smoke. And thank God for that. What a miraculous deliverance God gave to them. But I want you to notice something. When the king comes and he's seen the fourth men, four men in there, he comes down and he says, "The servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. As I was reading through that, I got to thinking, when they first hit the flame, the bonds were gone. They were free. They could have turned around and come out anytime they wanted to. They could have come out of the furnace. Evidently, they didn't have to come up steps. They didn't have to climb up. Evidently, they could just walk right out of it. But yet they didn't. They stayed in there. And a matter of fact, the Bible says that they were walking around inside the fire. But the fourth man was with them. Wonder why they didn't come out. I don't think they wanted to come out. Because wherever Jesus is at and he's real to you and you're there with him, you can be happy and content in any situation. They were happy just because Jesus was there. They were rejoicing and thanking the Lord for that. And my friend, you remember Peter? He was in the ship and he said, "Lord, if you'd bid me come, I'll come to you walking on the water." And he did. He walked on the water. And that was a miracle. We talk about that. But look at this miracle. They were in the fire and they never got burned, and they walked around with him in the fire. And they only came out in God's timing and when the king asked them to come out because of the testimony that they had an opportunity to come out. But then notice, if you will, the king's decree. Because of this notable miracle and all that God did, he says to them that he made a decree, verse 29, that every people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What a blessing. This trial brought a blessing and a promotion in their life. It caused that whole kingdom to be aware of their God. Their trial was a blessing. Can I tell you that when people looked at them going through what they were going through, the king and all the others, they saw Jesus in that. The king said, "I see four, and one of them is like the Son of God." And can I tell you, the way you react to trials and heartache and sorrow can be a wonderful testimony, because people see what you're going through. And they want to know, how could you do that? How could you bury your baby, your mama, or your wife and have such a peace in your heart? How could you do that and still believe in God? That's a testimony. And they had that wonderful testimony. I love this story. But now I want you to go back at verse 17, because all of that is just introduction to get us familiar with the story. There's a truth in here I want you to see. On last Sunday, I preached to you about Daniel interpreting the dream. And he made this statement that I felt like God put in my heart. And I hope he put it in your heart all this week and be the rest of this year. But there is a God in heaven. Regardless of what happens, there is a God of heaven. Well, I found another one that God spoke to my heart about this week. Look at verse 17. "If it be so, O God, whom, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto the king, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou set up. That little phrase caught my attention when I read it, the first three words, but if not. Here are some men who walk with God. Everybody in the kingdom knows they're godly men. They know their God. They love their God. They know he cares for them and takes care of them. And there is going to be a situation to arise. And he said, they said, our God is able to deliver us, but if not. I think that little phrase is the key to those recognizing those who have real, genuine faith in God. Amen. If you're praying for the healing of a loved one, and you believe God and you love God and you know God loves them and you pray earnestly and seek his face and they die, what happens then? But if not. That determines how close you are to God and how real your faith is, your reaction to but if not. You're praying about a job promotion. You're the most qualified. You're better. You've been there longer. You got more seniority. You know more about it and everything else. And you're praying. In your mind, you think it would honor God, that God would promote you. You think it would be a blessing to your family. And you could have testimony, God put me in this position. And so you earnestly pray and you ask friends to pray and everything. And when it comes down to it, God doesn't promote you. God doesn't give you the job. But if not, what then? But if not, if you've got something that you want to do for God and God closes all the doors, but what then? But if not, you're going to have those but if not days. You're going to have some of that in your life for the rest of your life till Jesus comes. There'll be things that you earnestly want, or you really think you deserve, or you think it would honor God, and God may do completely different than you've ever thought. I quote all the time the life of Job. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. One day Job was in his house and a servant came running to him and said that a certain group have come and they've taken all your lambs. And I'm sure that grieved him in his heart. And I don't know how he began to pray. Maybe he began to pray, God, put a hedge around the rest of my animal. Don't let them come and get anything else. Before he could get the prayer out of his mouth, another servant comes and said, they've taken all your camel and they've taken all your donkeys and all of this. And he's praying, oh God, please don't let anything else happen. God, don't. And he's a good man. The Bible said there was none like him, and that he eschewed evil and he trusted God and he was God's servant. And God told the devil, this is my servant Job. And he said, if you'll take your hands off of him, he'll curse you to your face and die. And God knew he wouldn't do that. And so he prays earnestly now. He's lost all of his income and he's praying, oh God, what are we going to do? God, I know you love me, but why is all this happening? God, please protect my family. And then somebody comes running in and said, there was a great wind and the house fell and all of your children are dead. But if not, if God doesn't protect the rest of your animals, if God doesn't put a hedge around your children and let your children all live, what will you do then? But if not, that'll measure how much you really trust God, how close you are to him. The Apostle Paul, miraculously converted, a Jew, a Gentile, Pharisee of the Pharisees, lived in Judaism. He hated Christ. He hated the way of the cross. He hated Christians. And he'd gone about to arrest them and to do all he could. And he did it in the zeal of Jehovah God, he thought. And God miraculously saved him. He turned his back on all of Judaism. He began to preach under the power of God. Folk were saved. Churches were established and everything else. But in all of this, there was a messenger of Satan that came to buffet him. There was some, I don't know what it was. Nobody else does. People talked about maybe it was his physical appearance. Maybe he developed some sort of arthritic condition. Nobody knows what that thorn was. But here's the man of God who's praying. And so one day when he's praying, he said, "Oh God, would you please remove this thorn from me? I've given my life to you. I've turned my back on Judaism. The Jews hate me. Romans hate me. And God, I've forsaken all for you. God, would you just take away this pain? Just take away this messenger of Satan. Would you remove it?" No answer. He prays again at a later time and said, "God, I've been faithful to you, and I've tried to win souls for you. And God, I've been shipwrecked, and I've been stoned, and I've been thrown in prison. But God, that's okay. But would you please take away this infirmity of the flesh, whatever it was?" No answer. He prays a third time and said, "God, I've been faithful. I've traveled all up into Asia and all around, hundreds of miles, and won folk to Christ, established churches, trained leaders and everything else. But God, I'm thankful for that. But God, would you please take away this infirmity of the flesh?" And God said, "I'll not take it away, but my grace is sufficient for thee." What do you do when it is, "but if not"? You're praying about something and it never happens. You're believing God for something, but it didn't happen like you think it ought to. What then? The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed in human flesh, went about 3.5 years, resurrected the dead, healed blind eyes, lame limbs, saved millions or thousands, taught, had great following, all those things. And he knelt in the garden with great sweat drops of blood falling from his brow. And he said, "God, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But what do you do, but if not?" What did he do? "Oh, Father," and I believe he earnestly was praying that it would be delivered, that it'd be delivered. He said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." What do you do when it is, "but if not"? If God doesn't answer your prayers about your children, about your grandchildren, you don't get that promotion, you don't get healing, your family don't get healing, financial gain doesn't come, what then? That's what makes the difference. Is that our idea that if not, I'm going to still love him. If he doesn't, I'm going to still serve him. If he doesn't, if not. Can God deliver us? Yes. Can God heal? Yes. Can God promote you? Yes. Can God give you anything your heart's desire? Yes. But if he doesn't, are you going to get bitter at God? Are you going to doubt God? Are you going to get the poochy mouth? Quit going to church? Quit believing God? Get embittered at God's people? Get embittered at God? Or are you going to rejoice him? But if not, nothing wrong with what you want. It would bless you. It'd bless others. It'd honor God. But if God chooses not to do that, what will you do then? I've related story after story, and I hate to repeat myself. But years ago, we pastored up in Reidsville, North Carolina, there was an old guy named Coley. Didn't have a lot of education. He loved God with all of his heart. Played an old guitar. Everybody wanted Coley to come sing at their revivals. Coley would go, and he walked in full of the Holy Ghost. Said, "You just see it. Every time I ever saw him, his face was almost glowing. He's rejoicing in the Lord. Didn't have much in this world, but he knew God." And he played that guitar, and he began to cry. And I don't think he's ever sang the first verse of any song. But he'd get rejoicing, praising God. Next thing you know, everybody in church was rejoicing, praising God. They called me one night and said, "Brother Billy, Coley's house is on fire." By the time I got there were lights and the fire trucks were there and people all around. And what used to be his house was just a pile of glowing embers and smoke curling up in the night air. I could see in the glow of that fire, that glow of that house, Coley standing in the dirt road in front of his house. Had his wife and his little girl. When I walked up, they were weeping. Coley's face was shining as much as it always had. I asked God to give me a word to say to him, to help him. Before I could say a word, Cola turned around and looked at me, and he said, "Brother Billy, God gave me that one. He'll give me another one. But if not, I'm going to still love him and serve him. If not." What about the if nots? I mean, you didn't get everything you wanted. You see other people pray and they get this and they get that, get the other people to give testimony, but you prayed and your loved one died. You prayed and it didn't work out like you thought it would. What do you do then? Do you quit on God? Do you throw in the towel? You do like these boys did. But if not, we're not going to serve your gods. We're not going to worship your image. We're going to keep on keeping on. If God answers all of our prayers, or if he answers none of our prayers, if God blesses us, or if he doesn't bless us, we're going to still keep on praising him. One morning in the old building, I learned a lot on the front porch of that church going in and out. G.P. Benson and some others would stand there. And G.P. was a blessing to my heart and life. He'd cut up like everything else. But sometimes things would come out of his mouth that would just astound me. Somebody was coming in that morning. I stand there on the porch and G.P. stand off to the side. And I shook hands with somebody and I said, "How you doing?" They said, "I'm rejoicing and praising God. God's been so good to me. He's blessed me. He's just given me so much. I can't hardly just thank him enough. And he's a great, great God." And G.P. said, "He'd be a great God if he didn't give you nothing." Wow. He's a great God if he doesn't ever bless me again. If he doesn't ever answer another prayer, he's a great God. I'm going to love him and serve him. I don't serve God because of his blessings. I don't obey him because of his blessings. I love him and serve him because he's God. And he loved me first. And he gave his son to die for me. But where does that kind of faith come from? How did these boys get that? I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4. You say, "Brother Billy, you said you was going to preach on the Word of God." I am preaching on the Word of God. How can you stand there, knowing that you fixed to get thrown in a fiery furnace, and say, "But if not, God can deliver me, but if not, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm not going to serve your God. I'm not going to worship your image." How do you get that away? Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at verse 1. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught of it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which he commanded. Your eyes have seen the Lord, what the Lord did to Baal-peor, for all the men that followed Baal-peor, and the Lord God hath restored them from among you. But ye that do cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you. Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess. Keep therefore and do them." Listen. "For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great that hath a God so near unto them as the Lord our God is to all, is in all things that we call upon him for?" He's a great God. But it was the Word of God taught to these men that instilled them, and that Word of God created them, in them, wisdom and understanding. I want you to turn over into chapter number 8 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You can't, out of emotionalism and other things, you can't stand in the hour you're living in. You've got to have that Word of God taught and in your heart. You've got to get the Word of God in you. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. I love singing and you get the truth of Scripture through singing, and you're inspired through singing. But you've got to have the Word of God in your heart. You've got to, in 2024, you need to give yourself more faithfully to this Bible, to read it, to study it, to obey it. Get that Word of God in you. That's what's going to make the difference. Not the other things. I love every bit of it. I'm for all of it, for all the fellowship, for all the singing. But if you don't have the Word of God, if you have one of those but if not moments, you can't live off the singing. You can't live off the fellowship. You've got to live off that what's inside of you, that Word of God that you've heard, and it's embedded in your heart, and you made it real. Therefore, look in chapter number 8 and listen to what he said about this. All the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the ways the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, and to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. That is, will you serve him in the wilderness? Will you serve him in the fire? Will you be faithful? If not, if he doesn't answer your prayers, if he doesn't get you out of that desert for all these years. But verse 3, but he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that you might make thee to, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. It's the Word of God. What do you need in 2024? You need to be more diligent in this Word. Study the Word. Get it embedded in your heart. Because can I tell you right now, everything is not going to work out like you think it ought to. God won't instantly answer all of your prayers. God may take your job away from you, may take some of your family members away from you, may take your health away from you. But if you got that Word of God in your heart, you can have what the Bible calls the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And you'd have that unspeakable joy. You have peace that passes understanding, meaning there's no reasonable intellectual reason that you ought to have peace. I mean, your whole world's been shattered. That you love most has been taken from you. You've lost your job. You've had this. You've got cancer diagnosis. Everything, it ought to shake you to your core. But if you've got that Word of God in you, and you've heard and sown that Word in your heart, and you know God, and you know that He loved you before the foundation of the world, and you know that while you don't understand what's going on, that He loves you and that all things do work together for good to them that love the God, you can have peace. You can have peace. And you can have joy that passeth understanding. I mean, there's no way in the world that anybody could rejoice. There's no way in the world anybody could be walking around in a blazing hot furnace and not wanting to get out, not try to get out. No way to understand that. It doesn't say they were singing. It doesn't say they were rejoicing, but I got every idea they were. I know what Paul and Silas did when they went to prison at midnight, and it wasn't your average luxurious hotel like it is now. It was a pit. It probably had water standing there, big old rats, big as possums in there, everything. They were in a horrible situation. The Mamertine jail were like that. They were horrible places, full of disease and everything else. And Paul and Silas sang and praised God at midnight. But if not, what about you? What do you do on those but if not days? What do you do about those but if not prayers? You just keep on trusting Him. Keep on loving Him. You don't get bitter. You still testify about the goodness of God and the grace of God. You just be faithful and keep on keeping on. Turn over in your New Testament, will you please? In the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. This truth that I've talked to you about was in the book of Daniel. But in chapter number 4, look at verse number 4. The Lord Jesus Christ, clothed in human flesh, now has been taken into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit of God. and Satan is unleashed on the Son of God to attack him. Verse 3, first, when the tempter came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." But Jesus answered and said unto him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And down in verse number 7, and Jesus said unto him, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And in verse number 10, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The Lord gave us an example of victory, and it's in the Word of God. I want to challenge you in 2024 to give yourself more. Fill your life with the Word of God. Come back tonight. I want to share with you some practical ways and things about your Bible study and loving this book. This book, this Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? But if not, does God love us? Yes. Can God heal? Yes. Can God provide? Yes. But if not, what do you do then? Do you get bitter? Do you lose your faith? Do you quit witnessing? Do you quit worshiping? Do you quit rejoicing? Do you quit going to church? Do you quit reading your Bible? But if not, I promise you, you're going to have some of those days. Can he do it? Yes. But if not, he has a reason, and we're going to trust him. But if not, he loves us and will not forsake us. But if not, all things will work together for good to them love God. But if not, heaven will fix it all. We won't worry about it anymore. Our Heavenly Father, I pray your people this morning that you spoke to their hearts. I pray, God, they'll be prepared for whatever you got coming their way. Because every one of us will have, but if not, days. There's going to be things that we don't understand why you don't do it or haven't helped us or answered our prayer or done something we thought you ought to do. But God, we know that you're wiser than we are. You see eternity. And God, I know that we can just trust you. Though you slay us, we'll still trust you. God, build that kind of faith in me. Build that kind of faith in all the Christians here in the building and in the media audience. I pray, God, that we'd understand that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Lord, I pray that, God, we'd become hungry for the bread of life, for the Word of God, that we'd give ourselves to reading, studying, filling our heart and mind with your Word. Be obedient to your directions. And God, we'll gain wisdom and understanding and peace and joy that the furnace will not take away. God, I pray, God, that you'd speak to hearts this morning. Lord, you know what people need to do. Would you stand, please, with your heads bowed and eyes are closed? I'm going to give you an opportunity to do two things this morning especially. I'm going to ask you, if you know the Lord, you know that heaven's your home. Maybe you have not been reading or spending as much time in the Bible. You really didn't understand that you can't face tragedy. You can't face heartache unless you've got the Word of God hid in your heart and it becomes a part of your being. You'll not have the faith you ought to have unless it's based on the Word of God. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd speak to these people now. I pray, God, they'd be obedient. If you're here this morning, you're Christian, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to the Lord. Like Daniel, the Bible said he purposed in his heart, not emotional, but if it's a real desire in your heart and in your spirit to spend more time this year reading the Word of God, not just to check off how many chapters you read. I try to read the Bible through every year, but that let God speak to you. Some days you may read one verse. Some days you may read 10 chapters. You may read in the morning, the evening, at night. I don't know how you, I'll share some things with you tonight, just some suggestions. But if you feel this morning that you want to fill your heart, you'll be more faithful to the reading and studying and giving yourself to the Word of God than you've been. I'm going to ask you to come and bow around this altar or stand for just a few minutes. We'll have a prayer all together. So if you come, would you remain for just a moment? If you want to give your heart afresh and anew to read the Word of God and hide it in your heart. If you're here this morning and you say to me, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. But Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to pray for you. If you're here and God the Holy Ghost has already spoke to your heart and you want to be saved, He'll save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'd be glad to pray with you. There's men who pray with the men and ladies who pray with the ladies. And if you're here this morning, you just say, Preacher, would you pray for me? I need your prayers. Would you raise your hand in the building this morning? God bless you, my friend. Others, thank you so much. Others, I see those hands going up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Others, we're going to give ourselves to read the Word of God. That's why we're coming around the altar. And that does not mean that those who are standing in their place don't do that. They may be already great students of the Word of God. But I pray if there are some who are a little bit hesitant, I promise you, God will show you in the Bible what you need to know. You've heard all your life that the Bible's hard to understand. It's not hard to understand. It's just He'll show you what you need to know as you need to know it. But you got to give attention to reading. Spend some time in the Word of God. Listen to it on audio tape. Do something. Get the Word of God in your heart. Our Heavenly Father, forever Thy Word is settled in heaven. Our Father, I pray, God, like David, that this book would become honey in our mouth. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that it would direct our path, be a light unto our path. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, Lord, would cause us to discipline ourselves, to find time in the day, in the evening, the early morning, just be alone with You. Lord, our friends around the altar and perhaps even where they're standing, Lord, we want to commit ourselves to You, and this is Your book, this is Your Bible. And we want to get it in our heart, not just because of the, but what if not. God, I pray, God, that we'll be faithful to You. Grow us in the Lord. Help us to have that faith of God that we need. And we know faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I pray, God, that You give us peace of God that passes all understanding. Give us that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Help us, our Father, to be able to rejoice in the furnace and to fellowship with You. And God, we'll thank You and praise You.